Greetings and welcome to Catholic Cardinal Reflections, the regular podcast of the Catholic community at Stanford University. This is a weekly podcast of Sunday homilies and theological reflections given by the staff of the Catholic community and their guests. Today's speaker is Father Bob Glynn S.J., parochial vicar at the Catholic community. It is the mission of Jesus Christ in today's gospel, and the readings are from Cycle B.
I've been asked many times since my return from Zambia after so many years, did you have culture shock when you got back to America? And I thought, no, I had culture shock when I got to Zambia, that was for sure, about lots of things. But the truth is, I did have one bit of culture shock when I came home the final time after 19 years there. And it involves the thing over which I had the biggest culture shock when I got there in the first place. And it has to do with time. Now, I have been a teacher longer than I've been a priest. And we were taught in the Jesuits to run a very ship-shaped classroom with no nonsense. Start on time, end on time, no fooling around, da-da-da-da-da. So I kind of run things that way in Zambia too. And so the first time I was at a teacher training college, and of course, I was gung-ho, so I went and we didn't have a photocopy machine. This was the late 1990s. We didn't have a photocopy machine. We had a mimeo with a stencil. So those of you who are under 50 years of age, you don't know what this is, but it was hell. And so I would take in these little stencils, and I would say to the man who ran the mimeo, I would say, "Va, Richard, could you please make me 30 copies? And Richard would say, "Yes, Father." Then I would come back a few hours later and I'd say, "Richard, do you have the copies?" "No, Father." What I discovered was, "Yes, Father," should be translated as, "No, Father." So I learned it only took two times at that to know that this is a stupid way to do things, Bob. Tried to figure something out. So the next time I went and I said, "Richard, could I have these soon?" "Oh, yes, Father." Now, soon means within 1 month. So I asked around and people said, "Father, you have to say now." I thought, oh, of course. Why wasn't they thinking that? So the next time I said, "Could I have them now?" "Yes, Father, I will get right on it." That means 1 week. But some people will know quite well that when you want something very important, I will go in and say, "Richard, I need them now, now." Now, now, now means any time within 3 days. The solution is now, now with a bribe. All right, that works. That was unfailing. So there's a reason for this, and it's coming into focus here. So that was when I was living out in the rural area in the bush at Chikuni Mission. Then, 11 years later, fast forward, I'm now living in the big city of Kitwe, 750,000 people, bigger than San Francisco, kind of, all right? And, you know, it was like a big city, very dirty and ugly, but very, you know, a big city. And so I was working at a school and all of that, but the same kind of thinking about time went on there. So it was Easter Sunday, and we'd already had the Easter Vigil, and I had the Easter Sunday morning Mass, and I was just ready. We had finished. I gotten everybody out, swept the place, and I thought, oh, thank God, I can finally relax. Then there was a knock on the door, and I answered, and he said, "Oh, Father, happy Easter." "Yes, happy Easter. We have an Easter gift for you." And I said, "Oh, good." Of course, in my mind, I was picturing a bottle of Scotch whiskey. Fortunately, up to the door came a sheep. Now, we are not in a rural area. We're in a big city. If it had been in the mission, I would have expected. So I was taken back for a minute, and I said, "Oh, what's the gift?" Then they pointed at the sheep. So I thought, now, what would we do with a sheep? We've got a dog, and it's the guard dog, and the guard dog will attack the sheep. And then I was picturing that maybe the sheep could mow the grass. You know, that was a picture. And I said, "Oh, what were you thinking we would do with the sheep?" And they said, "We are going to slaughter it for you, Father." I'm a vegetarian. So I thought, I said, oh, are you sure? Yes, Father, we must slaughter it. This is the gift. And I said, okay, when are you going to do it? Now. So I thought, good, 3 days. I have time to get rid of this sheep. Until I heard the sheep shriek. And I saw the machetes flying. And I thought, oh my God. I raced into the house because I don't like blood and I don't like sheep being killed. So, whack, whack. And I could hear now, thwack, thwack, thwack. You've never seen people cut up animals with machetes before. It's something else. Boom, boom. It takes... That wasn't a big sheep. I would say, oh, it was yay big. 1 hour to cut up that damn thing. And then, of course, it was left for me to wrap up the bloody parts and stick it, okay? Now, I'm telling you this because I am perplexed by the first reading today. This Elijah and Elisha. Okay, Elijah says, come follow me. Elisha says, I have to go home. Say goodbye to everybody. Elijah says, tough luck. Then Elisha goes home anyway, taking with him the two oxen with which he's plowing. Now, I don't know if you people have ever seen oxen up close. I have. They are very big and tough. So he takes the two oxen and the plow, okay? And he slaughters the two oxen. Now, let me tell you this. You do not give more than two people machetes at once to cut up anything, because someone else ends up getting cut up too. So you have two people with machetes on each animal. Let's exaggerate and pretend they have four machetes, okay, which they don't. So this must have taken hours. Plus, they didn't have PG, oh, well, maybe we'll stay out of PG&E, but I mean, they didn't have electricity. So they're building fire. What are they building fire with? The plow. Isn't Elisha great? He leaves his family without the oxen, without the plow, and he goes off merrily on his way. Now, in the meantime, Elijah, who is, you know, saying, come with me now, is waiting for what I'm figuring is at least a day for this urgent mission that he's on, for Elisha to come back so that they can wander off together. Now, what is Elijah's mission? Elijah had one mission, and that was to proclaim Yahweh is the only God. Okay, so what I gathered from this, now you may think differently than I, but I'm in charge here today, is that this message wasn't all that important. It wasn't urgent. Because if it was urgent, he would have said, either come with me now or it's all over, baby. And he doesn't. He waits and then they wander off together. So we get the idea, even if people say now or it's urgent or whatever, you see by what follows that. Now, in the gospel today, Jesus says, come follow me. And then, you know, somebody says, well, I want to, you know, I'll follow you. And then Jesus says, yeah, but you're going to have nowhere to stay. Boom. Well, that ends that. The second one says, quite reasonably, I don't know what you think. I think he says, let me marry my dead father first. And then Jesus says, well, let the dead bury the dead. That's a nice answer, isn't it? All right. And then the third one, where he says, let me go home and say goodbye. And Jesus says, no. If you look back, you are not fit for the kingdom of God. Why? Because Jesus has a different kind of mission than Elijah. First of all, Jesus is his own mission. Okay, he is the message he proclaims. He is the one who moves forward to proclaim the kingdom of God in himself. It can't wait. Jesus' mission is to everyone as he moves on. Whomever he meets, that gospel mission is urgent. So he says, don't turn around, because you know what will happen. I don't know, some of you who've lived at home and moved away. If you go home, then someone can decide all sorts of things, preferably your mother, of why did you go off with that guy? You're staying here. You're not going anywhere. Don't wander around. Don't do this. Ever since you left, everything has gone badly. You go home, it's all over, baby. It's all over. You can't proclaim the mission. Jesus' mission is urgent. And urgent does not mean now. It doesn't even mean now with a bribe. It means now with the kingdom of God as the bribe. That this is what we are about. And often, I think, because I look at myself first, and it's a fairly shoddy picture I see when I look at me, is that I don't always feel that it's urgent. Like I think, okay, I've got the homily ready for day, and I wrote the prayers of the faithful, and we're all ready to go, and Teresa's got the music, and the choir's ready, and everybody's doing, and we're all here in the church. Yes, we're about the kingdom of God. Well, yeah, we are. But it's nice, it's reasonably comfortable, and it's not urgent. As long as we believe that, we haven't really gotten the full sense of discipleship that Jesus calls us to. That discipleship says it is urgent, it is every day, and it cannot be changed or revoked. I can't get rid of it. It is there for me. In Catholic school, by the Sisters of Notre Dame de Namur and Alameda, we were taught something that I learned and I forgot, and I learned again a few years ago. Every morning before you get out of bed, before you have that first cup of coffee, which we believe is the salvation of the day, before that happens, I make the offering of my day. Dear Jesus, I offer you all my works, my prayers, my joys and sufferings of this day for your intention. So that suddenly my day is not about the cup of coffee, breakfast and the ride to work or school, but it is about service of God in whatever I do. The sisters taught us in the middle of the day, and it's not something I've taken up too. They weren't so bad teachers. Is something like the Angelus. I pray that at 12 because it reminds me that the gospel came to be in Mary, in the person of Jesus to whom she gave birth. And in the middle of the day, have I lived the day as though the gospel were coming to birth in me? And in the evening, I bring before the Lord my examination of conscience. Was this a day where I listened? Where in fact, I saw the grace of God at work and I was the gospel proclaimed in me. That I lived like Jesus would want me to do. Well, not necessarily whatever I did, but who I was before others and before the Lord. And if I can say yes to that, then I can say, yes, I followed you. I did not turn back. I did not look back from the plow. I have proclaimed the good news in your presence.
This has been a presentation of Catholic Cardinal Reflections, the regular podcast of the Catholic community at Stanford University. Director Gary Glauber, with music by Elder Tommaso and Shane Clarkson. For more information, please visit our website at web.stanfordcatholic.org or visit our offices on the third floor of Old Union. Till next time, God bless you.